So let's welcome again Dr. Jay and Lizzie. They've been ministering for well before he had gray hair. So that's a really long time. And they're going to share with us not only what's happening, Lizzie's going to come and share that, but Dr. Jay's coming with something specific from the heart of God for us as a church. And that's what I appreciate about them. So let's welcome them again this morning.
It's a joy for us to be here at the Victory Church Brooks this morning. Every time we come here, we are so blessed and encouraged. And thank you, Pastor Jordan and Pastor Tamsi, for having us here. And we are here personally to thank you for all your generous help and gifts year after year, month after month, that you are making all those things that you saw there to happen. We can't do it without your help and your prayer and generous support. So on your behalf, we are doing it in India. Amen. So we thank God for you, for your help and your prayer, for standing with us. And our ministry is growing and going on. So God is faithful to us to stand and move on. And we can't do it with our strength. It's not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit alone. The Spirit of the Lord enables us to move on and to be faithful to Him. As Pastor Jordan was saying that, no, He reigns in our heart. He rules in our life. And He enables us to do the things. You know, we are just mud vessels, but we hold the treasure in this earthen pot. We hold Him, His power, His victory, His enabling in us. Praise God. And all the ministry that you saw here, orphanage ministry, poor feeding ministry, slum schools, and health work project, and the hand pumps giving drinking water to the children, and the ministry to the marginalized, or the downtrodden, or the Dalits, you know. It's all going on. And in the last year, we were able to start more slum schools and more village schools. And today, as of now, we are feeding every day hot-cooked meal more than 2,000 children. Amen? And they're not only having the food to their tummy, but we are also giving them food to their spirit. And they are given the living word of God. And they are taught to sing and praise and worship Jesus. And they carry the good news of the gospel to their families. And they are telling to their parents. And one of our teachers said, my son, after coming to your slum school, he's totally changed. And he's so happy. And he wants to come to your school. And he enjoys everything. And at home, he's always singing the song. Song of Jesus in his house. Amen. And their parents see a change in their life and they are so thankful for that. And they want to have what their children have. Amen. That is our mission. Not only just reaching the children, but through the children, reach the family. Now we are believing for 30,000 slum children in Delhi slum. And through this 30,000 slum children, we want to reach the family, maybe of 5 members in each family. So it becomes 150,000 people in next 10 years' time. Right? As of today, we are supporting more than 3,000 children. And we are in reach of more than 10,000 family members of these children. Praise God. And they are reached with the gospel. Our health workers, the women in their uniforms, they go house to house. We focus on one slum pocket of 40,000 children, and these women carry good medicines with them and good news of the gospel with them. And they go to these houses where the women are, and they never go anywhere out, but they sit and listen to these women, and they get good health counsel, and they also get the good news of the gospel. Praise God. So that is going on, the health work project. So the gospel being given to the people in different means and the kingdom of God is advanced in the land of India. Praise God. I just want to finish, but thanks be to God who causes to triumph in every situation, in all the places. Praise God. So the kingdom of God is triumphing and advancing, even though the political situations are so adverse, but God is alive. And He's ruling and reigning in the land of India. Praise God. Thank you so much for this time. God bless you.
So it's always a joy to come to Brooks, Victory Church. And as Lizzie was sharing that, thank you for partnering with us. I always ask this question. What can you take to heaven? Can you take your car? Your property? The Canadian dollar? American dollar? I don't think we can take any one of these things. We can take only souls. So, it's always good to invest in souls. Sometime, it will be nice to see what's the purpose of my life. You know, I have a word for this church today. Is it okay, or you want me to switch over to the mic? We'll try? Yeah, okay. And I always say that like this. You're all familiar with Alexander the Great. At the age of 30, started winning the whole world. But when he was about to die, he told his generals, when you make your coffin, my coffin, make two holes on both sides of my coffin and put my dead body into that and take me to the graveyard like this. So asked him. Generals asked, Master, what is the meaning of this? What should we make two holes in your coffin box and take you to the graveyard like that? He said, put my hand through the holes and take me through the streets of Alexandria. Let the whole world know Alexander the Great brought nothing into the world. Alexander the Great takes nothing out of this world. I pray this morning the Holy Spirit will stir our spirit. We are not just born to live, just to live. We are born with a purpose. Every one of you seated in this place, maybe a new person, maybe attending the church just for a few weeks or a few months. But you are not here by chance. You are here by the providence, by the will of God. You are sitting in your seat by the will of God. Maybe a young person, maybe a man or woman or whoever you may be. You might have undergone great pressure and problems in your life. They're all seasonal, I want to tell you. All problems are seasonal. The problems are not going to be there forever. But the purpose of life is very, very, very important for you and me, friends. So today, as you sit down here, listen to me for some time. And I want you to understand, I have another video also to show. And towards the end of my message, I will show that to you. That is a purpose. Only one life that will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. I challenge this wonderful church in the mighty name of Jesus. You have been partnering with us, standing with us so faithfully, so faithfully. I remember the time when Pastor Bill came to India, Audrey and Bill, and Butch and Marianne came and opened that wonderful facility. Some other facilities you saw there in that video presentation, our church. And the help came from here. God helped us to put that wonderful church. We are running right now around 500 members in that church right now. We believe for 1,000 members. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Wherever you are, you can look for a miracle. Praise God. Friends, this morning I want to tell you that the greatest thing is to know Jesus and to love him and to do what he tells you to do. I'm walking with Jesus for the last 52 years. Last 52 years. I'm a pastor. I'm doing my ministry for 52 years. Ever since I got saved, I started winning souls. I didn't know much of the Bible because I never been to any Bible school. the man who led me to Jesus Christ, he showed me three verses. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that, you know, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then he showed me another verse. John chapter 1 verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. Then he showed me another verse. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. That, with these three verses, I started winning souls. Praise the Lord. I didn't know about the theology, the resurrection, or the second coming of Jesus, the rapture. You know, pre-rapture, post-rapture, whether rapture is there or not. None of those things I didn't know. But with these three verses, I started winning the souls. Praise God. Getting their names written in the book of life. That's how I started. So I just want to encourage you today. I have a word I'm going to give to you. And I want you to give me a few minutes of undivided attention. Because the Holy Spirit is telling us to do something. I was just reading the Charisma, you know, the e-magazine. I receive it. You all receive it. And, you know, I was just reading this one. Here is a guy. Here is a family in the state of Oregon in America. And they are fined by the state of Oregon. They have to pay a fine of $135,000. You might have read it. Why? Because they refused to bake a cake for a lesbian couple. So the state of Oregon has told that you have to pay a fine of $135,000 because they say they filed a case that, you know, when because they refused it and we underwent a lot of mental agony, pressure, so, you know, it must be dealt with. So $135,000 fine for telling that I cannot bake your cake. And then in the dollar bill, we read, in God we trust. That is a state things have come to right now. It may not be too late, too long, that it can catch up here too. So I want to tell you, it's time to win the souls. Praise the Lord. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to talk to you about one illustration from the Bible. Let us just, if you have a Bible, you can turn. This one is very interesting. It's taken from the Acts of the Apostles. You know, it happens in the life of Peter. I'm going to read that. I'll just tell you right now, 1 minute. And it's taken from Acts 10. You know, it's about Cornelius and how he got filled with the Holy Spirit and saved. And a few verses I want to bring to you right now. You know, a few verses I want to bring to you. If you look at chapter 10. And one, two verses I just read. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He doesn't know which God he was praying to, but he was praying to God. That was the Bible says. And then he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Your prayer and your charitable work have come before me. And he is not a believer. He is not a child of God. He's somebody. You know, if you come to India, people, 1.3 billion people, they worship 330 million gods. Not one or two. 330 million gods. That's what India is. Full of idolatry. Everywhere idolatry. And they worship everything. But you know, even among that people, here is a guy who's praying to the God he doesn't know, the unknown God, and is doing a lot of alms. And it says it has come before God Almighty as a memorial, as a remembrance. And then again, Peter, in the same chapter, he makes another statement. Because Peter is having trouble. You know, he believes that only Jewish people can go to heaven, nobody else. So that is his problem. He's one of the apostles, mightily filled with the Holy Spirit. But his problem is that other than Jewish people, nobody can go to heaven. Nobody can be, you know, called as the sons of Abraham, children of promise. So God has to convince him. The whole chapter, if you read it, you know, you will understand that. You all know this story. So I'm just picking up a few verses here and there. So look at this one. He says, you know, he says like this, verse number 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person." Are you with me this morning? God is no respecter of person. And then he says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." That's what I see. In the 1.3 billion people of India, there are millions of Hindus who are really devout. They get up 4 o'clock in the morning. They go into the Ganges River and they stand in the water waiting for the sun to rise. 4 o'clock standing in the river and waiting for the sun to rise up, and they worship the sun because they think sun gives light and God gives light. So, you know, so sun must be God. That's how they do. But that's what I say. There are millions of people in India, millions of people in Africa, millions of people, we think, and millions, and thousands of people, you know, hundreds of people in the city of Brooks, we think nobody is interested in God. That's a pure lie from the devil. We think that nobody in Brooks is interested in godly things. No. That's how the enemy works. He works on your mind. Because our battle is right there in our mind. So that is the problem. We believers, we children of God, born again, you know, blood washed and water baptized and, you know, spirit baptized people, we have a problem. Nobody listens to that. That is a lie, because when you believe that one, then you don't want to do anything. No. There are, when Jesus looks down, when God looks down upon Brooks, what does he look at? Is he looking at the Tim Horton and the McDonald's? He's looking at the broken homes in this city. People who are walking a lonely path. People who are rejected. People who feel that nobody loves me. People in the families, broken families, children, we don't know where they are. There is no happiness. And those broken families, God looks and he wants to reach them. But how can he reach them? He needs hands. He needs legs. He needs mouth. He needs eyes. He sent his son and made a way, and the son went up and left the Holy Spirit to be with us. And the Holy Spirit, now it is not in the body form, it is in the spirit. God is a spirit. And now he needs a body. He needs a person. And that's what you and me. I want you to believe this one. I don't want you to believe the lies of the enemy. He's a liar and the father of lies. If these people are going to be rich, it's only by through you, not by angel. You know what the angel is telling to Cornelius? Let us look at that word. He's telling in verse number 5. And now, the angel of the Lord is telling, "And now, send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon at Tanna, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." We had a chance, me and my wife, you know, to be in Joppa in Israel one day. It was beautiful. So the angel of the Lord gives an address. You know, so nice. You need an address for the GPS to work. Is that right? Without the address, the GPS will not work. You need an address. Simon Peter, care of Simon the Tanner, Beach Road, Joppa. Send for this man. He will come and tell you. Why not the Holy Spirit? Why not the angel tell it? Are you with me this morning? Are you tired? Are you awake? Are you listening? Why not the angel tell it right then and there? See, the salvation is this, that Jesus died for you, and his blood can wash all your sins. Angel could have done it far better than Peter. But why did the angel tell? Send for this man. He will come and tell you. That shows presenting the gospel, the good news, the plan of salvation God has given in your hand and in my hand. Are you with me this morning? Are you listening to me? If you are not going to tell it in this city, nobody else is going to tell. And I have a lot of verses to, you know, back up from the Bible. And God will ask account from us. This city needs the gospel. India needs gospel. Canada needs gospel. Every nation needs gospel. Africa needs gospel. Kenya needs gospel. Who is going to do that one? We. Together. Send. Go or send. You can send. And you are doing. Some of you are helping us in India. And that's what we see here. And the very important thing is, you know, there are two important things that in this whole chapter I want to share with you. We'll just run through this one. And then we will, I know that, is that's the clock right there, Pastor Jordan, behind? Yeah, okay. I watch that one. So I don't want to take much of your time. Because I have to show you a video too. You know, I'm very concerned, you know, careful about the timing. I don't want to go beyond the timing, you know. So the two things we see over here. Number one, Peter is struggling hard. Peter is struggling hard. He's, to some extent, if Peter lives right now, they could have very easily branded him as racial. Because that's what he is. Yeah, he believes, according to the old laws, that a Jew cannot go into the house of a Gentile. So that is racial. He is a guy, he's an apostle, be struggling from racial mentality. Okay. So God has to teach him a lesson. You know the story. That, you know, the whole vision of, you know, the things coming up from heaven. That you look at that one as verse number 9. Let me read it very quickly. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or clean." Unclean. You know, this is what his problem is. So God is telling him what God has. You know, what God, look at verse number 15. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Made it very clear. Because Jesus died for every soul. You believe that one? Jesus died for everyone. I like the song that your worship team was singing. Songs from Africa and Asia, you know, and all places of the world. That's how it is. And thank God for that. So God, you know, showing a vision to him. And God is explaining something to him, because in his mind he said the salvation is only for us. Many of us, we think church is only for me. No. You know what Jesus called the church? It's a house of prayer for all nations. Two times it's written, Old and New Testament. This is a place. Church is a house of prayer. When I was entering right here, you know, a lady came to Pastor John, Sir Jordan, and she was explaining the prayer is working. I'm getting healed. That's what all about it. Because he has been praying and God is just healing that person. And it's a house of prayer, because in James it is written, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. We have to all the time make, you know, the prayer of faith. People are there. The church majority, reach out. Come. We are praying for you. You know, we don't have an answer for many of the questions. Somebody said like this. Many of the questions are well forgotten rather than found answers. If you're trying to find the answers for every question, you're not going to make it. You better forget it. Press on. It was a mark of the high calling. Praise God. And then, you know, that's the first point is, in his mind, his thought is there that nobody can get saved, only Jewish people, and God is dealing with that. And the second thing that's happening is, I want to put that one. Just look at that word again. Verse number 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. The Spirit, the one thing about the early apostles and the early church, they were led by the Holy Spirit all the time. Their steps and stops are ordered by the Holy Spirit. I can show you so many illustrations from the Bible. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, when I was coming from my hotel, you know, to this place, I felt to tell this church, I believe that God is telling that he is going to restore. This word came, restore. If it is applicable to you, you can accept it. If it's not applicable, don't worry about it. God wants to restore, you know, the original vision that God has given. When we discover, because the church was founded to take the gospel around the world. Praise God. I do not know what is your, you know, your revelation on which this church was built. This local church was built here. But the purpose of every church is take the gospel. And God is going to restore many of us. Restoration, you know, in our life, the passion. You know, God gave a vision. But I want to tell you, if your vision does not become your passion, then it will become a frustration. Never forget that. Your vision must become a passion. What is your vision? The Holy Spirit is telling, never doubting nothing. Just go along with them. I have a plan. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Without the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus said. I will not leave you orphan. I will send the Comforter. You read John chapter 14 and chapter 16. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a Comforter who will lead you. I got so many things to tell you, but you cannot bear. But when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. And Holy Spirit can only work with us when we give him the leverage in our life. Friends, I want to encourage you. Today, you know, look at the life of Cornelius. He was a devout man. He was not a believer. But God sent the angel to remind him something. Call for Peter. So the evangelism, winning souls, everyone. You know, one thing I want to tell. One other thing I want to tell is this. When you begin to win a soul, when you begin to win a soul, you will get the joy that you have not discovered in your life. When you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, that is a prime purpose of our spiritual life. You will never be bored. You will never be bored. If you begin to win souls, it energizes you. You become stronger and stronger and stronger. Because you are winning souls to the Lord Jesus. There are many ways of winning souls. I'm going to show you a video of the crusade that we are doing right now. This vision God gave me in the years 1966. 1966. Some of you were not even born at the time. I've been faithfully waiting for this. I was doing great crusades, some of you know, for, you know, the Canadian evangelist from Canada. And then I was doing great, you know, seminars for Wolf Ekman from Sweden. We were even doing great conference for Joyce Meyer too. I did it. I felt and I did it. Thousands and thousands of souls got saved. 250,000 people in single meeting. That's how the Hindus came, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I waited. But then after some time, I felt there's a time to go into the church planting. So we are right now more than 120 Victory churches in India. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 120 churches. We are believing to plant one church in every district of India in the next one decade. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Hallelujah. And then God began to tell me, you have to reach out unto the people. So that he started the crusades. You remember Joseph? He was interpreting everybody's dream. He was interpreting the butler's dream. He was interpreting the baker's dream. He was interpreting Pharaoh's dream. But one day, his dreams came to pass. Praise the Lord. So I was faithfully doing, and now we conduct the crusades. You know, every year we conduct crusades. Thousands of people. This is now or never. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Only one life that will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. Thank you, folks. Thank you, friends, for standing with us to take the good news. Let's be continue led by the Holy Spirit. The angel came down to tell Cornelius, call for Peter. He will tell you what you have to do. There are thousands of people in India here. They need people to tell them what they have to do. The Ethiopian minister said, even though he was reading the Holy Scripture, he didn't know what is that. So somebody has to join him and explain. That's the greatest joy. I'm so happy. Thank you, Pastor Jordan, for this wonderful time that you gave us. And we will continue to pray for you. We are going to have tremendous times in the next week in Lethbridge. And please continue to pray for us. And we pray for you. God bless you. Take care.
Working here. There we are. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that word. I think that's a great statement, which is so true for all. If your vision doesn't become your passion, you become frustrated. So I just sense the Holy Spirit challenging you today this. What's your vision? What's your vision? Your next meal? Your next paycheck? Your next holiday? What's your vision? Because I tell you what, again, in the same way, if your vision is the next paycheck, how many know you're probably going to get disappointed anyway? You look at the taxes that they take and go, phew, I'm angry. What's your vision? Because that's the problem. We know in the Bible it literally says that people that have no vision dwell carelessly. They live recklessly. And that the challenge of the Holy Spirit right now is to ask you, what's your vision? What's your vision? And if your vision doesn't line up with what some of what Dr. J shared, which is people, which is the only thing that's eternal, then we're missing it. When I tally up the people that attend church in Brooks, it's only 10% of our population. So we have a lot of work to do just here. They've got billions to reach. We've got thousands. That's what our summer bash is all about. That's what our festival is all about. Welcoming people to our house. Because we have a message. We have a message that sets people free. Amen. So what's your vision today? Let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit for that. To refresh and restore our vision. For our own life. For our own community. For wherever we go. For our youth as they go to Mexico. Because God gives visions for where you are. There's seasons for everything. And I tell you what, when you have a vision and it doesn't become your passion, it's true. You are filled with frustration because you don't know what to do. So this morning, let's pray. And then we're going to have an opportunity to bless Dr. Jane Lizzie. Father, this morning, we thank you for the message. We thank you that we can be like Peter at some times. And that you opened his eyes. And we pray, Father, today that you would open our eyes to see vision beyond ourselves, beyond our own family, beyond our own history. God, to create your history, to create a future, not only for our lives, but for those around us and those we come in contact with. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd open up our eyes to see the vision that you have for our lives, the life of this church and this community, in Jesus' name. Wherever we place our foot, you promised to Moses and to Joshua that that land you've given us spiritually. So, Father, give us a vision for where we walk, in Jesus' name. Refresh our heart for the lost, we pray. Because you hear their cry. You hear their cry and you're asking, who will I find in this church that will go for me? Holy Spirit, refresh vision. Bring people's faces, names to our hearts that need this message that we have. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we ask this question. If there's anyone here that has not yet said, Jesus, be my forgiver and my leader. You brought nothing with you and you'll take nothing with you. The only thing you can take, as it were, is eternity with God. Without accepting Jesus Christ, you don't have it. And we can attend church our whole life but not make this decision and choice. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you, if you've never made that choice, to say, Jesus, I choose to follow you. I accept you. Forgive me. If that's you, just raise your hand to him. Far be it from me to assume this morning. Thank you, Lord. And for others in this room, God would ask how many have walked too far from that vision, that original salvation. Maybe you're living for yourself and you know God is speaking to your heart to change your focus. If that's you, just raise your hand to him. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get my eyes off myself, God. Let's pray this with everyone that raised their hand. Say, Father, I thank you that Jesus died for me. But he also died for everyone else. Forgive me where I've lived for me. Cleanse my sins. And help me to live for you, for the lost around me, to share this message and what you've done in my life with everyone. I ask for boldness. In Jesus' name. Father, let that be the cry of each heart. Holy Spirit, do a work where there's condemnation or shame or guilt. Father, I command it to go in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for a freedom and a lightness, a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light for each one here in this room. In Jesus' mighty name, I command that those things that hold us down to leave now in Jesus' name. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd flood each and every heart. You'd fill afresh and anew each one here in this room in Jesus' mighty name. Restore and refire vision and passion in us today. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Give us eyes to see it. Give us a passion, even for our summer bash coming, that we can touch another person's life with this great gospel in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.